So what you see before you is actually a headline from an article, an opinion piece, posted on the website of the newspaper The Independent. For people outside of the UK, The Independent is a major British newspaper. White men should never hold elected positions in British universities again. Nothing is ever going to change if we keep letting them run everything. By Anonymous. I'm going to read this article in its entirety because it's not very long and I want you to hear it. University is supposed to be amazing, a transformative experience which is informed by student unions across the country. Yet people don't give a toss about their student unions, and activism is dying at all but a few hardcore universities. This generation of students has been pissed on by the government and fees and privatisation, and all anyone seems to want to do is roll over and let it happen. Do you know why this is? It's because our universities and student unions are too similar to our government. They are too stunted by white men. White men might want to appropriate injustice as theirs, desperate for something to struggle against, but it's a hobby they'll pick up and drop as soon as the first comfortable finance job beckons them over. We need to ban white men and their activism dilettantism. We need powerful women and minority ethnic people to bring their passion back to the heart of student politics. Being a student union president should no longer be a place for privileged white boys to swing their dicks around before graduating into a world that is in no way affected by what they claim to fight for. More importantly, we obviously live in a world that looks favourably on white men. In order to bring about change in our racist and sexist society, it must start in our universities. If women and minority ethnic people were in positions of leadership across all universities in the country, we would have a diverse graduating class of future leaders in every industry. Oh, but it's racist to ban someone on the basis of their skin colour and sexist to ban them on their gender, cry the assembly chorus of confused souls trying to turn the language of progress into a weapon to further entrench the establishment. It's not. You're at university. Go and ask a humanities professor. Learn something. White men have had the last several millennia in charge, and it's been a shit show from start to finish. A new generation of powerful women and minority ethnic people is ready to lead and change. It is time for you to bow down. I'm going to read important excerpts from a paper from the University of Warwick called The Expulsion of Professors and the Consequences for PhD Student Outcomes in Nazi Germany. German Universities and National Socialism. The Expulsion of Jewish and Politically Unreliable Professors. Just over 2 months after the National Socialist Party seized power in 1933, the Nazi government passed the Law for the Restoration of the Professional Civil Service on April the 7th, 1933. Despite the misleading name, the law was used to expel all Jewish and politically unreliable persons from civil service in Germany. At the time, most German university professors were civil servants. Therefore, the law was directly applicable to them. The law was immediately implemented and resulted in a wave of dismissals and early retirements from German universities. A careful study by Hartshorn, published in 1937, counts 1,111 dismissals from the German universities and technical universities between 1933 and 1934. The same happened to the Jews in Italy under fascist and Nazi rule. The Italian racial campaign, which effectively revoked the emancipation of Italian Jewry, achieved during 1848-1870, thus constituted a profound rupture in the modern history of Italy, interrupting a century-long pattern of growing social integration. The immediate effect of the racial laws was the abrupt disruption of jobs and education. Within weeks of the racial laws, many Jews were fired from their jobs, including over 100 Jewish elementary school principals and teachers, 279 Jewish high school principals and teachers, 96 tenured professors, 133 university adjuncts, and several dozen part-time faculty. I am too angry to comment on this article. I am so furious that I am simply going to read you Nazi propaganda, and I am going to let you at the Independent come to the conclusion as to whether you should have published this fucking article. The Jewish World Plague by Hermann Esser. 1. Fundamentals of the Jewish Question. The treacherous murder of the young German diplomat Ernst von Rath in the office of the German embassy in Paris on November 7th, 1938, by a 17-year-old Jew named Herschel Grunspan is rightly viewed by the entire German people as a contemptible, sneaky attack on Adolf Hitler's new Greater Germany. 80 million people were touched in the depth of their being. Justified outrage erupted. According to their own figures, the Jews, who had been living very well among the German people for centuries, were worth a total of 8 billion marks. When the Reich government required them to pay a penalty of 1 billion marks, the Jewish Democratic World Press howled, as if Jews in National Socialist Germany were starving and going to the dogs. Still, one is surprised that even today, one occasionally finds citizens who feel sorry about the money the Jews had to pay, who in their pubs or family conversations speak about the poor Jews. These attitudes prove that, despite constant National Socialist education about the Jewish World Plague, there remains much to be done, particularly among the intellectuals. The knowledge of the Jew must be brought to every attic and every corner of Greater Germany. The knowledge that the Jew was a world plague from the beginning remains so for millennia and will forever remain one. The Jew bewitches and exploits the gullible, the ignorant, the trusting. He reserves for himself all the advantages of mammon and capitalism, wealth and treasures, all the joys and pleasures of life. Yet for 3,000 years, the Jew has complained about oppression and persecution, about hatred and prejudice against him. But the Jewry has gathered and swindled the world's money. One can hardly speak and write about poor Jews. Solving the Jewish Question by Dr. Achim Gerk. As a result of the victory of the National Socialist Revolution, the Jewish question has become a problem for those who never before thought about solving the Jewish question, who never fought to solve it. Everyone has seen that the current situation is intolerable. Allowing free development and equality for the Jews has led to an unfree situation of exploited competition and to a handing over of important positions within the German people to those of a foreign race. Legal measures to solve the Jewish problem. Excluding Jews from the German economy. Jews are prohibited from owning shops, mail order firms or branches, and from owning an independent craft firm. They are further prohibited from offering goods or business services at markets, exhibitions or trade fairs of any kind. A Jew can no longer be a factory director, a leading official or a member of a cooperative. Measures against the Jews in the cultural arena. Jews may not attend German schools. They may only attend Jewish schools. Due to public outcry, this article has been taken down. I want you, the editor-in-chief of The Independent, to think about why your paper would allow a journalist to anonymously publish repackaged Nazi propaganda. Why did you think this was a good idea? And why did you think, in true Orwellian fashion, that simply deleting the article would make this go away? Two wrongs do not make a right. You need to make a very public apology for this. Whoever Anonymous is should probably be revealed for the bigot and fascist that they are. They should display the courage of their convictions if they are going to advocate openly such supremacist nonsense, and if you, the Independent, are going to give it a platform.